Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. This is the midday show that we have now started on Blog Talk Radio. We anticipate this show being every single weekday from 12 noon to 12:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So when it's time to bring out the lunch and take that lunch break at work, tune in Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer midday show, where we'll be talking all about backyard poultry here on Blog Talk Radio. Again, mark your calendar. We appreciate you joining us. Again, this is in addition to our weekday show, which is broadcast nationwide every Saturday at 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time on America's Web Radio. That's americaswebradio.com. This will be a short 30-minute show during the weekday to give you a little bit of a break during your lunchtime workday. And we're going to have some fun times during the week between 12 and 12:30. We'll be focusing on things that are in the news regarding backyard poultry and chickens. We'll be talking about updates that are occurring during the week. We'll be talking about and interviewing members of our new meetup groups that are all across the planet. And so you're not going to want to miss, and you're going to want to make sure you tune in every weekday from just real short, 12 to 12:30. Give you a little bit of break when you're at work. Again, this is a live radio show that's broadcast around the world. I first want to talk about our meeting that our meetup group had yesterday. It was at the, Compass Point subdivision here in Flowery Branch, Georgia. And we have a meetup member that keeps backyard poultry there. She keeps about 6 hens in her backyard. She's had them for several months now. No one ever knew she had them, and apparently somebody found out and they've created a stink about it. Well, normally when I have people contact me, and many people contact me weekly about keeping backyard poultry and the laws and ordinances that go with that, and I would say more times than not, probably 95% of the time, after they send me the covenants or the ordinances or the laws in their area, though I'm no lawyer, I'll have to convey to them that apparently it looks like that, yes, you are not allowed to keep backyard poultry where you're at. And your only action right now is to try to get those laws changed, and then we'll help them go about doing that, which is great. Be very proactive about what you believe in. Stand up for what you believe in. Well, if this young lady would have called me, our member, and told us that that the laws, you know, that they were not allowed, then we would have told her the same thing. But according to our interpretation of the covenants and her interpretation of the covenants and every member we have, she is within her right in her subdivision to keep backyard poultry. So again, I scheduled it as a meetup with our group. We had about 20 people, maybe a little more, show up yesterday, Sunday, at the Homeowners Association Architectural Committee meeting. And that basically, the whole meeting was primarily after they did the minutes from the last meeting. It was all about her keeping backyard poultry. And it was a very good debate on both sides. It was handled very well. And we basically made our point about keeping backyard poultry. Some others made their point about anti-backyard poultry. But I don't think anything was accomplished yesterday other than educating people about backyard poultry and what really it was all about. So it was very interesting, and I'm going to try to pull up here the speech that I had yesterday regarding backyard poultry before we get into chickens in the news here in a little bit. But it was good. We had about 25 people show up. We were all dressed in yellow, so that was very, very interesting, and we really enjoyed that. It was good. After the meeting, we all went back to her place, and we had refreshments, and we saw her backyard. She has a beautiful yard, manicured, absolutely beautiful, and big lot, wooded lot, No one can even tell. It looks like a general playhouse. But it was a great time. I'm going to read you real quick the speech that I made to the board and the HOA and all the members of the homeowners there that were gracious enough to allow us to come in and support our meetup member there in the subdivision. But basically what I put was, my name is Andy Schneider, but most know me as the Chicken Whisperer. I'm the host of Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, a nationally broadcast weekly radio show about keeping backyard poultry. I'm a contributor for Mother Earth News Magazine, Grit Magazine, and the Farmer's Almanac, and the founder and organizer of over 25 backyard poultry meetup groups around the world, and have been featured on CNN, CBS, HLN, HD News, and countless other media outlets. And I said, first, opinions are worthless when it comes to debating this. Only facts matter, so let me give you a few facts about keeping backyard poultry. And I went on to say, yes, chickens can stink, just like dogs, cats, rabbits, hamsters, gerbils, fish, and even people, if not properly taken care of. We're not talking today about a 300-foot-long commercial chicken house filled with 80,000 chickens. We're talking about a few backyard hens in someone's backyard that can be very easily managed. It all comes down to responsible pet ownership. Yes, roosters can be loud and annoying, but you do not need a rooster to provide your family with fresh, nutritious eggs that are free from chemicals, hormones, and antibiotics. In fact, hens will lay better if there's no rooster around anyway. Now, with that being said, there are ways to manage keeping a rooster in an urban setting without it being loud and annoying. Again, it all comes down to responsible pet ownership. This particular subdivision dweller did not have a rooster, just 6 quiet hens, so the rooster wasn't an issue. I added that in, as I always hate to eliminate roosters when we go into places and set up rules. Some of you may be thinking about mentioning the risks of avian flu. I would suggest that you visit the CDC's website, cdc.gov, and look at their avian flu questions and answers page. 2 particular questions and answers are as follows. Number 1, can I get avian influenza from eating or preparing poultry or eggs? And the CDC's answer to that question is, you cannot get avian influenza from properly handled and cooked poultry and eggs. And then number 2, we have a small backyard flock of chickens. Is it safe to keep them? The CDC's answer, yes. In the United States, there is no need at present to remove a flock of chickens because of concerns regarding avian influenza. You can find this, just like I can, at cdc.gov. And then number 3, all of the avian flu experts that I have spoken with or interviewed on my radio show agree that if and when the avian flu arrives in this country, we will get it probably from Delta, United, and Continental Airlines, meaning it will be spread from human-to-human contact, not human or backyard-to-human contact. So all the experts I've talked to all agree that if and when it arrives here in America, we'll be getting it from each other versus our backyard hens that are producing us breakfast every morning. And we kind of saw that with the H1N1 virus here a couple of months ago. And then I went to add, on any given day, I have more dog poop in my yard from other neighbors' dogs than they have chicken poop in their yard from my chickens. I have more cat prints on my car from other neighbors' cats than they have chicken prints on their cars from my chickens. And I'm awake at 2 a.m. from other neighbors' dogs barking than they have ever been awake at 2 a.m. from my sleeping hens. I told them that I love dogs, I have 2 of my own, but I can do nothing useful with their poop like I can with my backyard chicken poop. I put it in our vegetable garden, and my dogs have never provided me with breakfast. I went in to tell them about the advantages of keeping backyard poultry, providing your family with fresh, nutritious eggs, provide you with plenty of nice fertilizer for your vegetable garden that eat insects, and very entertaining to watch, and those are just a few of the reasons why it's great to keep backyard poultry. Then I started by wrapping up by giving them some definitions of things, because I knew some of the terms would be thrown around in the meeting. But according to the New American Heritage Dictionary, a pet is an animal kept for pleasure or companionship. People have a hard time thinking that backyard poultry can be considered a pet, but according to the dictionary definition of pet, any animal kept for pleasure or companionship. And then, of course, livestock, the definition, of course, horses, cows, bovine. Poultry does not fall under livestock in almost all circumstances. And then I added that, yes, chickens are domestic animals according to, well, everyone, including the Georgia Department of Agriculture. I also had with me, don't have it now, a list of domesticated animals, and just off memory, some of those include elephant, the hissing cockroach, the yak, the silkworm, chickens, goats. It was absolutely amazing, the list, because they were trying to throw out that chickens are not a domestic animal. So it's very interesting. But just to read you kind of what their covenant says, and you can make your own mind up, the only time it refers to anything about animals are backyard poultry, where it says animals. No animals, including birds, insects, and reptiles, may be kept on any lot unless kept thereon solely as a household pet and not for commercial purposes. And no animal shall be allowed to be a nuisance. And then it goes on and talks about the structure must be approved by the ACC. So you can keep just about any animal on your property here, or any animal, as long as it's not kept for commercial purposes and it's a household pet. So I guess you could have a pet elephant there if you wanted to, according to their own covenants. And then, of course, you have, there's a line there, what is really nuisance? And so you have to look up the definition of a nuisance. Just because someone hears some hens cackling through the woods does not make that a nuisance. Nuisance is doing damage, annoying, consistent noise for a long period of time that will annoy and bother. So after a hen lays an egg, it will cackle a little bit and then stop, unlike dogs barking that will bark for minutes and minutes and minutes at a time, even at 3 a.m. So again, is it a nuisance because someone hears some hens across the way? Of course not. That is not the definition of nuisance. So then I challenged everybody that, and everybody who speaks after me, please use factual information. There's no room for opinions. They mean nothing. You need to use factual information. So it was a very good meeting. Everybody was controlled. Everybody had, there were good arguments on both sides, and we just had to educate them based on what backyard poultry is all about. But it was a good meeting, and there is power in numbers, my friends. The Atlanta Backyard Poultry Meetup Group does have about 650 members as current. We've been active just over a year, and I have started backyard poultry meetup groups all across the planet, and they're growing like crazy. To give you a list of some, if you're listening out there and want to know if there's one in your area, I'm sure there will be soon. We do have backyard poultry meetup groups in Atlanta, Austin, Boston, Columbus, Dallas, Denver, Frankfort, Harrisburg, Indianapolis, Juneau, Lansing, Little Rock, London, yes, London, England, over in the UK, Montgomery, Nashville, Paris, France, Phoenix, Raleigh, Durham, Sacramento, Springfield, Sydney, Australia, Tallahassee, Trenton, that's up in New Jersey, and Wellington in New Zealand. So, and we're adding those weekly, but if you want to get information about that, you can go to meetup.com, www.meetup.com, and then search backyard poultry. You'll be able to see if there's a backyard poultry meetup group in your area. Right now with that, our goal is to create one in every capital city in the United States, and then of course abroad as well. And for example, it's growing so quickly. The Austin Backyard Poultry Meetup Group has been created for about 2 weeks now, and there's already over 50 active members, and I believe they've just scheduled their first monthly meetup, as well as Boston, and Little Rock is very active as well. We have one in Little Rock, and they've scheduled their first meetup, and we've got some assistant organizers that are working really hard to make those groups successful. But we have well over 1,000 members now of backyard poultry meetup groups, and so there is power in numbers regarding spreading the news about backyard poultry and the benefits of that. And many, many cities and states are actually allowing backyard poultry. And that leads us into chickens in the news. And if my fearless sidekick was here that said, extra, read all about it. So we've got some news here, and this comes to us from Woods Cross, and a decision to allow residents to keep chickens as pets passed with nary a ruffled feather here on Tuesday night. Several months ago, a resident complained to city officials because Davis County Animal Control Officer told him he had to get rid of his pet chickens who had gotten out of the yard. The matter was referred to the city's planning commission, which recommended the council adopt an urban chicken ordinance, much like several other cities along the front have already been in place. So, again, this is just one example. Those willing to keep chickens must pay a use permit of $5. It's a one-time fee. Very few attended the public hearing, and none who spoke opposed the ordinance. Instead, praising chickens for providing healthier eggs than store-bought eggs. One resident, here's a great point, asked during the meeting, what's the difference between chickens and dogs? Saying dogs poop, bite, and bark, at least chickens give us something tangible back to the owners like eggs for breakfast. So I can get these all day long, and some are great and very entertaining to read. Here in Drovers, this is interesting. Doesn't really have to pertain to backyard poultry, but it does in a roundabout way. The antibiotics bill was defeated. This is the Drovers news source. A bill that would have limited the use of antibiotics by licensed veterinarians to prevent and control disease in animal agriculture was defeated by the California State Wednesday afternoon. It says, last week, the California Senate Appropriations Committee approved the legislation, which was sponsored by Senator Dean Flores. Once it reached the Senate floor, 15 senators voted in favor of the bill and 20 voted against it. The bill would have required all school districts in California to make every effort to purchase poultry and meat products that had not been treated with non-therapeutic antibiotics. So the original bill prohibited schools from serving poultry or meat products from animals that had been treated with antibiotics at any time during the life of the animal. And so this bill apparently was defeated. So, again, I'm not sure why. It doesn't go into a lot of detail. But, again, a lot of people are concerned with that. They read labels. They try to see where their food's coming from, what was used in the raising of their food. And that's just one argument about raising backyard poultry, is people like to know where their food comes from. They want to know what goes into their body. They're concerned about it being a local source and buying food local, and that's a story you may not have heard that I've mentioned a couple of times on my national radio show on AmericasWebRadio.com every Saturday at 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, and that is my wife and I have a small little farmhouse down in South Georgia. We were down there visiting a couple of years ago, and we went down to one of the local farmers markets. You know, Georgia is famous for watermelon production. And it was after the 4th of July, so the big watermelon boom, if you will, had kind of dropped down a little bit. But we went to down to the farmer's market there, and we were buying big, beautiful, seeded and seedless watermelons right from the farmer, right from the farm. They were harvested that morning, and we were paying about 90 cents a piece for them, 90 cents a piece. I loaded up my pickup truck, came on back up here to North Georgia, just north of Atlanta, and shared them with friends and family. 90 cents a piece. I have a friend that works as a manager at a local grocery store, not going to mention the name of it, and I went in and asked her, I said, tell me something. How come your watermelons are $6.99, $7.99 a piece, and I can buy them all day long from the farmer for 90 cents each here in Georgia, where, you know, the watermelon capital of the world? And she basically told me a very interesting answer. She said, well, the way it works, Andy, is we have, let's say, a short answer, we have one person that's responsible for finding vendors for our watermelons. And if this particular person can make one phone call and stock all of their grocery stores with one phone call with all the watermelons, then he's done for the day. Or that chore is done, and he can mark it off his list. Instead of trying to find farmers locally, just a few hours down the road, a few minutes down the road, they can stock the local grocery stores with watermelons, then it's a little more work. Where if he could call one farm in California and have all of his grocery stores stocked with one phone call, then that's great. The watermelons here in Georgia came from California, so they had to be harvested, put in the back of trucks, hauled, 3,000 miles from California all the way to Georgia, watermelon capital of the world. And so now I'm eating watermelons here in Georgia from California when I have an ample amount just a couple of hours south of Atlanta in South Georgia, and which would be fresher. You don't have to worry about all the diesel fuel getting them here, all the labor getting it here, all the pollution getting it here, and then by the time it's here, it's not going to taste as good and be as fresh. So it was very, very interesting. It was a wake-up call even for me that said, you know, hey, I can get these for 90 cents a piece right off the farm from the farmer down here, or I can pay $8 a piece for them at the local grocery store, and they're from California. And no wonder they're $8. It takes a lot of diesel fuel to get them here from California, and a lot of labor in between. And there's probably a middleman, but hey, everybody's got to make a living. But people want to know where their food comes from. It's coming from their backyard. They know what they're putting into it. It's a big kick right now, being green, being organic, knowing where your food comes from. Other chickens in the news, this comes from the Courant.com. Chicken squawk studied at UConn. This is very interesting. I've seen a couple of reports on this over the last few months. But chicken squawk is being studied at UConn. And for hundreds of hours, Ebenezer, and I'm not going to attempt to pronounce his last name. Oh, maybe I will. Uto Narako has been studying bok bok bok, cluck bok bok, and cluck cluck cluck. And that was the title of the story. And it may actually earn him a doctorate. He is a PhD candidate at the University of Connecticut and has focused his research inside the poultry barn at the University of Connecticut, where microphones hang from the ceiling and every cluck, balk, and pawk is recorded. He and Professor Michael Dare are trying to understand the language of chickens. And this it says this is not, let's translate chicken to English. They're trying to find out their language and what their vocalizations mean to each other, whether it be predator or hunger or illness or communication, maintaining pecking order. But up there at UConn, they are studying chicken squawk, and it may just get this guy a PhD if he can interpret what the chickens are saying to each other and to us when we walk out into the backyard with a big loaf of bread or some scratch or whatever else we're going to be giving them, bananas, tomatoes, so that may be interesting. I wish them luck. Maybe they can figure out what these hens are telling us, what the roosters are trying to tell the hens and whatnot. That'll be very interesting if they can do that. I'm going to try to follow up with that and let all our listeners know if they make any progress on trying to determine what chickens are saying to each other. This comes to us from the Chicago Tribune, and Iowa City joins the growing urban chicken movement. Hoorah! And this comes to us from Iowa City, Iowa. Why did the chicken cross the road? Who knows? But if it was crossing an Iowa City road, it could be in violation of community ordinances, at least for now. People are circulating a petition that asks for a change in city code that would allow residents to keep up to 5 hens. Roosters would be banned. I'll talk about that in just a moment. Organizer Stacy Distral says so far 700 signatures have been collected. She says the petition will be put to the city council within the next few weeks. The urban chicken movement has been growing over the past several years Chicago, Madison, Wisconsin, and other cities proposing changes that would allow the animals in residential areas. Proponents say chickens make good pets while also providing fresh eggs. So, again, this is in Iowa City. They've gotten 100 signatures and trying to get the laws changed there, and I wish them good luck. A member of our group was very successful, and we support him all the way in changing the rules here in Roswell, Georgia. And you can probably Google that if you type in Roswell chickens, Roswell, Georgia chickens, Roswell chicken outlaw, or even chicken whisperer, or Roswell chicken ban, and look up that story. It went on for several months, and the media was very involved, both newspaper, print, and the television media, and actually our member got the former governor of Georgia, Roy Barnes, involved and got him to come out and support and represent him. And that case, I guess just last week, was decided that, yes, chickens are now allowed in Roswell, Georgia. You can have hens. So if you were in Roswell, Georgia, and you're curious about it, go ahead, run out there and get those chickens and exercise your right to keep backyard poultry. So I understand backyard poultry is not for everybody. I completely understand that. It does take some responsibility, and it's not for everybody, and that's fine. But you should be able to keep backyard poultry if you so desire, as long as it doesn't become a nuisance. I will say that I know somebody, maybe a neighbor, that has not been so responsible with his chickens in the past, and they did become a nuisance. So it does all fall back down to responsible pet ownership. If you happen to miss Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer Weekend Edition, I'll call it, on this past Saturday, it was FFA Day. And we interviewed Julie Adams with the FFA. She's kind of like the spokesperson PR extraordinaire with the FFA. Great interview. That archive should be up sometime later today between noon and 3 p.m. And you'll be able to get on that archive. And if you want to go, again, to americaswebradio.com, and then you can go to my webpage, Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. You can listen to that Saturday archive show and listen to FFA Day. We actually, again, had a great interview with Julie Adams, the PR person with FFA, and a great interview. Told us all about FFA, the difference between FFA and 4-H, where they're going in the future, why they go by FFA organization versus Future Farmers of America now, though they still accept that and recognize that because that's why they were started many years ago. They're coming up. We're going to have in October their 82nd National Convention that I hope to be broadcasting live from, so that's going to be a great time up there. And then we interviewed also Saturday that we wrapped up the show with the National FFA Vice President, Regina Holiday, and I urge you to listen to that show. It was great. In fact, you can listen to all the Saturday edition Backyard Poultry with the shows archived at americaswebradio.com. So that's every Saturday at 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time at americaswebradio.com. And this is brand new. This is the very first episode of the Midday Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer radio show. Just a little 30-minute show talking about chickens in the news, chicken happenings. We may even have chicken trivia here, but just a little break in your day to hear about backyard poultry and something other than politics and all the bad news that's out there. You may have had a hard morning, tough day at work, possible layoffs, and you just need a good old-fashioned feel-good show to lift your spirits and something that's just not all negative about what's going on. And so I want to bring that to you every day between 12 and 12:30. Open up that sack lunch, eat your sandwich, listen to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, and we'll have a good time. I'm still getting set up with this blog talk radio system, and so we hope to have our board up and running where we can take phone calls, we can do chicken trivia like we do on Saturday, we can have guests on, and that's very important, a little 10-15 minute guest segment each day or a few times a week with people in the backyard poultry field. So definitely want to have special guests on just to make your day a little bit brighter and to break it up a little bit, because next thing you know, in just a few hours, if you're at work, you'll be heading home and enjoying your backyard poultry, your family, your kids, or whatever. So I really appreciate you being with us today and enjoying our first midday show with Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. Again, you can hear me every Saturday at 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time at americaswebradio.com. That's the main show every week. And then again, this one, 30 minutes every day from 12 to 12:30 to brighten your day, break it up a little bit. I appreciate you listening today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, and you have a wonderful day. And I know it's Monday, but you're going to have a great week this week. And thank you very much for tuning in today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer.